Hello, and welcome to today's lecture entitled Economic Inequality. I've divided my short talk into six parts, starting with a definition. Then I'll discuss global wealth distribution. This will be followed by how the past has influenced the present. I'll then look at US data evidence, which will take us into the current debate, and finally finish with suggesting ways to address economic inequality. Okay, so let's begin with a definition. So there are two types of economic inequality: wealth inequality and income inequality. Wealth is accumulated assets minus liabilities such as savings, pensions, real estate, and stocks. When we talk about wealth inequality, we're basically talking about how assets are distributed. Income is the new earnings that are constantly being added to that wealth. The key point here is that they are not the same. Okay, moving on into the second section, global wealth. Global wealth is estimated at about $260 trillion and not distributed equally. One study shows that North America and Europe, while they have less than 20% of the world's population, have 67% of the world's wealth. China, which has more people than North America and Europe combined, has only about 8% wealth. India and Africa together make up almost 30% of the population, but only share 2% of the world's wealth. So, let's focus on this unfairness of income inequality. I'd like you to imagine you have five people lined up according to income, with the richest to the right and the poorest to the left. Each person represents 20% of the population. If we distributed £100 between the members in the group based on current income trends, then the richest group would receive £83, the next would receive £10, the middle gets £4, the second poorest gets £2, and the poorest 20% would only get £1. So this takes us to how the past has influenced the present, and specifically focusing on the Industrial Revolution. A famous economist called Branko Milanovic explained this unfairness as an economic Big Bang. A couple of centuries ago, incomes were similar, but with the advent of the Industrial Revolution, the difference exploded. It pushed some countries forward onto the path to higher incomes, while others stayed where they had been for millennia. According to Milanovic, in 1820, the richest countries in the world, Great Britain and the Netherlands, were only three times richer than the poorest, like India and China. Today, the gap between the richest and the poorest nations is like 100-1. The gaps are getting bigger and bigger. The Industrial Revolution created a lot of inequality between countries, but today, globalisation and international trade are accelerating it. Most economists agree that globalisation has helped the world's poorest people, but it's also helped the rich much more. Harvard economist Richard Freeman noted, "The triumph of globalisation and market capitalisation has improved living standards for billions while concentrating billions of dollars among the few." So it's a kind of mixed bag. The very poor are doing a little better, but the very rich are now a lot richer than everyone else. Another reason why inequality is growing is technology. Economists point to something called skill-biased technological change. The jobs created in modernised economies are more technology-based, generally requiring new skills. Workers that have the education and these skills will thrive, while others are being left behind. So in a way, technologies become a complement for skilled workers, but a replacement for many unskilled workers. Okay, so let's look at the evidence through US data. Recent data from the US Census Bureau 2010 found the poorest 20% of Americans made 3.3% of the income, and the richest 20% made over 50% of the income. So that's pretty unequal, But has it always been like this? Well, yes. In 1970, the bottom group earned 4.1% of income and the top earned 43.3%. By 1990, things were even less equal, so the 2010 figures are just a continuation of this trend. What's important to note here is that it isn't just the poorest group that's losing. Over the last 40 years, all the household groups, apart from the richest group, are earning smaller and smaller shares of income. Interestingly, the US doesn't have the highest income inequality with 47%, but it does have the highest among the developed countries. Key leaders, according to the World Inequality Report 2018, are the Middle East with 61%, followed closely by India, Brazil, and Africa at 55%. Right, now this leads us to the current debate. The debate over economic inequality isn't about whether it exists, as it clearly does. The key debate is whether it is a problem and what should be done about it. Some academics argue that the data suggests, although there is inequality, all groups are making more money, and it's just that the richest share is obviously growing faster. So this is true to a certain extent that people in the lower income bracket have earned a little more money in the last 40 years. But more significantly is that in the last 20 years, that average income has been falling. Meanwhile, the rich have continually become much richer. The question is what level of inequality is acceptable? And when does inequality start doing more harm than good? There's a growing group of economists who believe economic inequality in the US is doing more harm. They argue that greater inequality is associated with a lot of social problems. They point to studies that show countries with more inequality have more violence, drug abuse, homelessness, and incarcerations. What seems more important to state is how powerful the rich have become. Inequality can lead to diluting political equality, since the rich have a disproportionate say in what policies to implement, and the rich have the absolute power to promote policies that benefit themselves. For example, tax manipulation. A recent research paper highlighted that in the UK, the poorest pay higher taxes of 42% on their income than the richest, who pay only 32.2%. It is also argued that the rich agenda set the media and prevent news focused on tax evasion, offshore tax havens, and the creation of shell companies to hide their money. So this leads me to my final point today: how can economic inequality be addressed? There's not a lot of agreement on this. Some argue that education is the key to addressing the income gap through providing a higher skilled workforce or increasing the minimum wage. It is also claimed that the government should do more to provide a social safety net, focus on getting more people into work, and adjust the tax code to redistribute income. In fact, some economists are calling for increases in tax brackets that require the rich to pay a higher percent of income, 50 to 60%. One final idea is to fix loopholes that the rich use to avoid tax evasion paying taxes. So, overall, it is evident that economic inequality exists at a national and global level. Global recognition and motivation is the driver to improve inequality and a sincere desire to help people and level the playing field. What is true is that social deprivation and inequality lead to the problems of violence, crime, and social unrest, which, whether rich or poor, will affect us all. I'd like to finish with a quote from Adam Smith, a classical economist. He states, "No society can flourish and be happy if the greater part of its members are poor and miserable." Thank you for listening to my lecture today. Goodbye.